This is Casey Currents. I'm Susan Wilson.
And I'm Sylvia Maria Gross.
It was Arbor Day on Friday, and if you spent some time outside in Brookside or Waldo this weekend, you might have seen some people planting trees. They are trying to replace thousands of trees that are disappearing from our neighborhoods. Casey Currents' Carrie Coogan looks into why and how some of those trees will be replaced.
Walk any neighborhood in Kansas City, Missouri, and you can't help but marvel at the stretches of unique and majestic trees that line the streets, parkways, and boulevards.
This is a great parkway. I mean, this is a boulevard.
Jim Summers of Heartland Tree Alliance is walking in the right-of-way near Meyer Boulevard. That's the city property between the sidewalk and the street.
And Kansas City is really proud of its boulevards, its wide streets that were put into place long, long ago during city planning.
He points to where the trees used to be. It's not nearly as green as it was when this boulevard was first built, dating as far back as the late 1800s.
If you look at the street, you see tree, tree, blank space, tree, tree, blank space. It's lost trees over time. We don't know why those trees are missing, but we can guess why they weren't replaced. There wasn't money, there wasn't attention given to that site at the time, and a tree wasn't replaced.
Summers can't tell you what happened to a specific tree, but according to the Kansas City Parks and Rec Department, we lose close to 4,000 trees a year. The problems vary. Old age, disease, power lines, and repairing water mains. These lost trees are just the ones they know about. There could be many more that go unreported, and until now, Jim Summers says there has never been a designated program to replace them.
And when you're on that downhill slope and you're not keeping up, you're in danger of never catching up.
But now there's a new program to replace those trees. The tree plantings are part of a pilot program underway with the Parks and Rec Department, the Heartland Tree Alliance of Bridging the Gap, and members of local homes associations. They're all working together to replant 500 trees this spring. The homeowner then promises to take care of the tree as if it were their own.
So this is a way to respond to that need with volunteers, giving people who will be living with those trees the responsibility of planting and caring for them.
The trees are being donated by Forest Relief of Missouri, a nonprofit in St. Louis that grows trees for distribution to community groups and cities throughout the state, free of charge. Summer says it's all possible because of volunteers like Jim Roddy. He's standing outside his colonial-style home watching his kids play in the front yard.
We just sort of were the first people in the door. And since we were a smaller neighborhood, we were just able to get it organized a little faster.
Roddy lives in Oakmire Gardens neighborhood. It's one of four neighborhoods that will get new trees, trees he considers an investment.
If you plant a tree to the south of your house or to the west of your house, the shade that that tree provides 30, 40, 50, 60 years later lowers your cooling costs in the summer. It raises the value of the neighborhood to have big old trees, and it's good for the environment, and it's good to see, you know, to plant something and see it grow.
What will that something be? Many people don't want just any tree, even if it is for free. Laura O'Brien knows what she doesn't want to see.
My neighborhood has a bunch of sweet gum trees, and while they're gorgeous in the fall and provide great shade, I probably would be happy if we didn't have too many of those because of the sweet gum balls that they produce so much of. I'd love to see either some flowering trees like redbuds that are native, or I think it would be really cool if residents had the option of fruit trees.
You don't get to pick. It's, you know, we're talking about a public space tree. The city has always picked that tree, chosen that tree. Because of the limitations, we will be picking the trees. We can say, to answer that fear, no London planes. That seems to be the main concern, that we'll plant London plane trees and people will be dealing with those little spiky balls up and down their sidewalks, and we won't be doing that, at least.
Is that the sweet gum tree?
Yeah.
No sweet gums, but there will be red buds, oaks, and even some dogwood trees. What variety of tree you will get will be based on the space in front of your house.
It's still a free tree. It's still the support of people to show you how to plant those trees. And Heartland Tree Alliance will come back with its trained tree keepers in 2 years or whenever is necessary and help them also do some early pruning and some care of those trees, too. So they also have the full support of this organization for the next several years as well.
And along with these new trees, the city and volunteers will be planting seeds of a partnership. They hope to see the program continue with more tree plantings in the fall and in the years to come. For Casey Currents, I'm Carrie Coogan.
If you want to find out how to get your name or your neighborhood on the list to get new trees, contact the Heartland Tree Alliance. Find information on our website at kcur.org. Now, what was the original plan for Kansas City's treescape, and how has that changed? To find out more, Susan went over to Parks and Rec and sat down with archivist Ann McFerrin.
The park board that was created in 1892 hired George Kessler, and he was a young man at the time. Most people don't realize how young he was. He was born in 1862. So when he was hired by the 1892 Park Department, he was only 30 years old. And he worked with ideas that he had learned growing up and being trained in landscape architecture and engineering, and with his own thoughts on how things should work with the natural environment. And he laid out the basic plan for developing a park and boulevard system in Kansas City. For a number of years, several people had been talking about trying to improve the looks of Kansas City. And so they finally took it in hand and started making a plan to work with. And by doing that, as in most everybody's life, if you make a plan and you aim toward that plan, you're going to be succeeding and you're probably going to be doing better. Well, the same thing with the parks and boulevard system. They laid out a general plan, knowing from there they could grow as the city grew. And that was very helpful to the growth of Kansas City.
Now, at that time, how far did that plan stretch, given that Kansas City was kind of more compact at that time?
I'd have to look up to see what the city limits were at that particular time. Even when Swope Park was given in 1896, that was outside the city limits, way outside the city limits. But they knew that eventually the city would go that way, and it did, of course, but it was not really in the city limits at the time it was given to the city of Kansas City. But I think I know the earliest days, I believe the limits were 31st Street. About there was the southern limits of the Kansas City Park, and then it went out a little bit further and a little bit further.
What was the idea of having trees and their importance to the early city then?
Well, trees were involved in the earliest reports of the Parks and Boulevard commissioners, including the 1893 report. Trees are basically part of life. They're part of the natural landscape of a city or of a country, and trees have always brought people pleasure. Just as a natural course of events in discussing the development of parks and boulevards, trees are naturally included.
Of course, Kansas City is known for its boulevards. How do the boulevards and parkways differ from regular streets in terms of the early planning?
Parkways incorporate aspects of parks that, if you look at a street like Ord Parkway with the median down the middle, it didn't exactly start off totally that way, but there are trees, there are fountains, there are little pools and things to help bring a feeling more of a park than just a street that you're driving down.
But how did that differ from just regular streets in terms of how the city approached trees?
Well, the city actually planted trees all over the place. As the city developed, Kansas City's always found trees very important. And unfortunately, in the 50s and 60s, we were hit by something called Dutch elm disease. And many of the Kansas City trees that had been planted many years before were destroyed. Elms were trees that were incorporated into the city plan of streets and boulevards because they're lovely trees. They would gracefully drape over the streets themselves. And they're kind of a soft tree so that you'd lose some limbs, but they're very pretty. But many of them were killed off at that time.
So based on your research, when they were killed off, did the city then plant other trees to replace them, or what was the plan?
Well, I'm not totally acquainted with it, but yes, they did plant other trees that would be more sturdy, some like maples and sycamores, and trees that wouldn't be as susceptible to disease like that.
Now, you talked about elms and sycamores. Are these native trees, or...?
Elms are not native to this area, but they were brought in The 1893 report talks about planting trees like elms, Carolina poplar, Norway maple, linden, ash, and soft maple trees to create shade, a lot of shade. More native trees are oaks, hickories, walnuts, redbuds, and dogwoods. And, of course, redbuds and dogwoods are smaller trees, so they wouldn't create the shade that some of the others would. And that's what the early planters were thinking about, nice shade trees where people would go to a park and there's a shady area. Even today, if there are trees in a park, people have a tendency to gravitate toward the trees. One of the things that they did with the planting of trees in the very early days were to plant several rows of trees on the side of what would be a boulevard or a parkway. You could have two rows of trees or three rows of trees. And that was done to create sort of a mini nursery for the trees so that when the roadway was widened, they could take out a row of trees and plant them someplace else. And the parade, which is a park today, there's a quote in the 1905 park report that talks about taking some of the trees away from the boulevards that have been planted too deep and putting them in the parade or some of the other parks around so that when they took away those trees, there were still other trees left there. So that's how important trees were, so that you take away some of the trees, but you still have trees there.
What kind of questions are typical questions that you get from people about the past in your work?
The Parks Department's very conscientious about the past and trying to work with it. George Kessler is very well respected to this day, and they realized the principles that he helped lay out over 100 years ago helped make Kansas City what it is and notable. Kansas City is internationally known for its parks and boulevard system, and the Parks Department here is very conscientious about that and try to work with it because they know that they aren't like quite any other city, and it's because of the plan that was laid out in 1893 and following that.
Ann McFerrin is the archivist for the Kansas City Department of Parks and Recreation.
If you can't listen to all of Casey Currents today, catch what you missed online in our audio archives. And we've got a podcast. Find us on iTunes.